already ate, but just I need to, because I can't leave it with you. But I just need to give you a little taste. See what it tastes like. All right? Man, I have to move. I have to move quickly here. You know my heart towards this church. All right? So, let me just say this, that there are so many different churches that I experience, and I love coming here. I feel like all of the apps in my heart were being updated and upgraded during our last 4 hours here together. You know, when you got them all on your phone and that update is happening and the bandwidth, it just can't hold, so it's taking a while. But this was the opposite this morning. Everything was in creativity and revelation. Everything was, how many can agree, right? Yeah, there are Mary churches and there are Martha churches that I go to. The Mary churches, they make you miss your flight. Or they forget to pick you up at the airport. Then there are the Martha churches that, they get to your flight too early and shut the service down and program the Holy Spirit right out of it. I like the Martha churches or the Mary churches, unless there's a football game on, then I like them. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I'm just going to drop this in you. I've got 10 minutes. Oh, Lord, please help me. Please. Because I realize we've already had 12 sermons, and they all were amazing. They all were amazing. They really were. I drove 9 hours to give you this word, so I'm like, Lord, I've come full. So the next few minutes is going to feel like you're drinking from a fire hydrant. I'm serious. Are you ready? You ready? I'm going to even set my timer here. Lori's great at that. She is the Roy Disney, and I guess I'm, yeah. Every Walt Disney needs a Roy Disney, and she is definitely the admin behind me and keeps me on the straight and narrow. So anyways, I'm reminded of a story of three generations, a granddaughter, a mother, and the grandmother, and they were making the Christmas ham, and the granddaughter was using the family recipe, and she was almost ready to put the ham in the oven, and she cut each end of the ham off, and before she put it in the oven, she said, Mom, why is it that we cut each end of the ham off before we put it in the oven? And the mother says, well, I mean, I always did that because, you know, my mother did that. And so she said to her mother, the grandmother, Mom, why is it that you cut the ends off of each ham before you put it in the oven? And the grandmother said, well, I always did it because I didn't have a big enough pan. A lot of times we adopt culture and we copy a culture. Culture is just the way we behave. It's our customs, it's our traditions, it's things of that sort. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes culture causes us not to be curious, not to ask questions, not to inspect, because times change, methods change. Did we ever realize we'd be in a day and age where in the palm of our hand, we could do just about everything. We could create, do our banking, blah, blah, blah. Those things change, but communication doesn't change. So we're in that era right now. We really are in the church. I want to talk to you real quick about being stuck. We talked about a middle season yesterday. We talked all about this. I want to entitle over the next 10.3 minutes. Step, and I really hope by giving you this, your taste buds aren't really worn out, okay? Because this is life-changing. This is life-changing. It's happened to me. Everywhere I've preached this sermon, people have been set free, all right? But you got to get rid of the bit. You need a bigger pan for this ham, all right? All right, 10 minutes, point two, point one. John, the fifth chapter, 1 through 5, NIV. Here's the story. This is the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Remember that, 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One was there, had been an invalid for 38 years, almost 4 decades. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Pretty simple question. Do you want to get well? Jesus goes Captain Obvious over this man that's been pretty much crippled his entire life. He says, do you want to get well? And here's what I've realized about this. When God asks an obvious question, like he said to Adam, Adam, where are you? How can an omniscient God ask Adam, where are you? He's everywhere at once. The reason why he asked Adam, where are you? It's not because God couldn't find Adam. It was because Adam couldn't find himself. Okay? So a lot of times when Jesus asks an obvious question, when God asks us something obvious, it usually something not obvious is going on. So that's what's happening here. Bethesda. So he asks this question, and God does this all the time. So something significant is happening under the surface. So I want to talk about that today. I want to change the way we look at things. Here's Bethesda. Here's the legend. The legend has it that Bethesda, when an angel comes once a year or whenever, touches the water, the waters stir, and if you're the first one in, bam, you get your healing. You get the miracle. So you have in this pool, around this pool, under colonnades, you have many, many people, the lame, the blind, the crippled, and they're all waiting for their miracle around this pool. Now imagine back then, there were no prosthetics, there wasn't modern technology and inventions that would allow people to have a somewhat of a quality of a life. So back then, if you were crippled, if you were lame, if you were blind, that was your lot in life. You needed people to help you. And here's the man at the pool of Bethesda. And what I know about Jesus is he always likes to look at the worst case scenario, and he goes to the most impossible thing to make his glory known. He's great at doing that. So these people are around this pool, and here comes Jesus. Now, they know about Jesus because they heard about his miracles. And everyone there is waiting for their miracle. And Jesus, of course, is in the miracle business. But they can't get to him. So now he comes and he steps on the scene. And, of course, you know, the guy who's in charge, the director of Bethesda, says, hey, we got this person over here. They haven't seen in a couple years. Jesus, this guy back here, man. 4 decades he's been here. And of course, you know, Jesus, like old Wyatt Earp, you know, goes right at that guy, right? And he asks him this question, do you want to get well? And the gentleman answers, well, listen, he doesn't say yes. He says, Jesus, I want you to understand this. I want you to have context first. I sit near this path. I have nobody to bring me down and get into the water. And other people, you know, they have friends and family, and they get there before I do. So I've been here, and this man is definitely got some challenges. He is definitely stuck. The legend has it, even though the Bible really has never told us that someone actually got healed at Bethesda, legend has it that when those waters stir, when that angel touches that water, whenever that may be, annually, if you're the first one in, bam, you get the healing. And the problem is with Bethesda is it's a trap. It's a booby trap. It overpromises and it underdelivers. And some of us that have that small pan, who have adopted a worship culture, a religious culture, we've been chasing the same carrot on the stick for years. Because a lot of the things that we give God to do, God is saying, yes, I'm do that. I am that. I'm. But you've got some things to do here to labor with me. And a lot of the things that we're messing around with and creating our own trouble, we are saying, that's the devil. He's on my back. And the devil's saying to Jesus, oh, it's not me. We need to get a bigger pan. So I want you to understand, number one, Bethesda is a trap. It overpromises and it underdelivers. And Jesus asked this man this question, do you want to get well? Not because it's an obvious question. Something not obvious is going on. Jesus wants to see how much of Bethesda has affected this man. How stuck is he? Because he doesn't know. He thinks he can't walk. He thinks he's crippled for that very physical reason. But he is stuck in so many ways. Bethesda represents that place in our life where we've gotten stuck. And we've tried to get out. We've grabbed the horns of the altar. We've gone to conferences. We've gone to all of this, and we are still stuck because we have used a small pan. Because, well, that's how that happened before. That's how that happened before. The man answered Jesus, yeah, but you see, you don't know the cut. The man is stuck. First of all, he's stuck in three ways. Number one, he is stuck in a system that is designed to keep him stuck. Once you are in a system that supports your stuckness, we organize it. And you are organized, your organizational stuckness has a scaffolding that's pretty intricate. I'm trying to hurry here, okay? It's very intricate. And some of us have highly organized worry. Some of us have highly organized worry. Some of us have highly organized fear. Some of us have highly organized discouragement, highly organized lust, highly organized envy, because we are in a structure, we are in a system that is supporting our stuckness. That's why you find people that have been in Word of Faith movements for 40, 50 years that can't manage their mind and are depressed and discouraged. You can adopt a culture and be conditioned by a culture and it never change your character. All right? So he is stuck. And the reason why he's stuck, and the reason why once we are stuck and we have organized stuckness, we can't see it. He can't see it. He's not only lame, but he is blind. Because blind spots are designed to keep us blind. And the reason why it's called a blind spot is we can't see what others see about us. That's why self-awareness is a superpower in this day and age. And 10% of us have it. What's self-awareness? To be able to step outside yourself and think about what you're thinking about. When that person does this to you, when this happens, and you immediately react and think this way, self-awareness says, wait a second, why am I thinking that way? It's a superpower. Jesus is trying to get this man, he's trying to turn the light on. So when Jesus says, get up and walk, you know what it feels like to me? It feels like Jesus is saying, dude, you can do this. You're going to do this all along. It feels like that to me. Secondly, this man is also stuck in a culture that supports his stuckness. He is stuck culturally. Not only is he stuck organizationally, he's stuck culturally because he is around people that are also lame, that are blind, that are crippled, whatever. And his only view of his world and his miracle that supposedly may come is on the ground. And that's all his vision is. He is around other lame, crippled people, blind people that cannot see, that cannot get up. And they think they're waiting for Jesus. And Jesus is saying, do you want to be well? Get up and walk. Jesus is being Captain Obvious in so many different ways. And so many of us are stuck culturally because we are hanging out and we are taking in everything that is supporting our stuckness. And the thing about a culture of stuckness, misery likes company. So we gather around people and we talk about our stuckness and it solidifies. And it feels even odd when people try to come and say, hey, well, have you thought about this? And they try to help and heal us. And it feels kind of odd because our stuckness, our cultural stuckness is so comfortable. How we do church is a culture. And we think getting out of that stuckness is returning to what the move of the Holy Spirit looked like 10 years ago, 20 years, 20, last week. Wow. And the whole move of the Holy Spirit can look like anything from Pentecost to the jawbone of a... right? Bigger pan. bigger pants. So not only is he, I'm almost done here. Not only is he stuck culturally, he's stuck organizationally. And the thing about being stuck culturally is you can create belief systems and dogmas and theology. And once you got that, you think it's God. And it cements our stuckness. And finally, the man, he's also stuck structurally. Five colonnades, go ahead and put that up. These colonnades were the ancient world's version of air conditioning. These colonnades were structures because back then there was no air conditioning and everything was done out in the town square. Business was done, meetings were done. So the colonnades were structures to provide comfort. So Bethesda was supported by colonnades that were built for the purpose of long-term comfort. Your stay here is not a visit, it's a residence. These colonnades provide comfort and shade. Organizationally, the man is stuck. Structurally, he's stuck. Culturally, he's stuck. He is in a highly organized system to make his waiting for a miracle comfortable. And some of us have colonnades in the mind that at the intrusion of anything new, anything that could expand the vastness and the bigness of God, we quickly get in back into that colonnade. We're stuck. So here's what I want to leave you with, okay? I mean, we wonder why countless people are leaving the church. We're wanting them to come in and accept. You need our culture. Look at our culture. This is what God is like. This is how God moves. This is how, and to me, when I read the Bible, I tell you, what's good fruit is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. To me, that's the move of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of our worship will always be found in our witness. For me, it makes no difference. If I'm praising the paint off these walls and I'm sucking the carpet in God's presence and I'm getting all these downloads, if I leave this place and I'm not changed or I can't change the world that I come into contact with, have I adopted a culture? Has it changed my character? I continue to be stuck. All right, so I want you to realize this. You may be stuck. I may be stuck. Whatever it is, I want you to realize with the organized problems, I want you to realize that you can step out of stuck. That it's not you that has you stuck. It is a system. It is mindsets in the mind. It's cultural. It's highly organized. That is the cement to your stuckness. So what do? We think it's us. Now we do have our part. We think it's us, and we try harder and harder, and we're spinning, and we're stuck. And like shoes in the mud, the harder we try, the deeper we sink. We pray harder. We worship longer. We do all of these things. We wait until those waters stir. But Bethesda is a trap. Bethesda overpromises and it underdelivers. Now, all those things are good and fine. You understand where I'm coming from. I'm talking about a completely different wavelength that we're on. And I'm going to leave you with this. Your miracle is not in Bethesda. Your miracle is in leaving Bethesda. Your miracle is not in Bethesda. Your miracle is in leaving Bethesda. This is why Jesus said, get out of here. Leave this place. And it was almost like you could have done this all along. And he picks up his mat. I mean, he was waiting for better days to come, but the days weren't coming. And Jesus said, leave this place, leave the system, get up, get out away from these colonies because your freedom, your future, everything is dependent on it. Get out of here. And God told Abraham the same thing. He told Joseph. He told David. He told even Jesus, get out of those places because your miracle is there. It's not here. Get out from among them. Joseph, leave your family that does not see your significance in the call on your life. Moses, get out from the back of the desert. And he's always telling us, your miracle is not in Bethesda. It is in leaving Bethesda. That's where we're stuck. Many characters in the Bible, God moved, but he couldn't move until they moved. Get at what has you stuck. What are the systems? What are the mindsets? What are the people you're around? Now, I'm not being extreme where you have to go home and all of a sudden break up with your boyfriend or break it. I mean, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm just saying this. There's polite ways of doing things. You can disconnect in your mind and your heart. That's what you have to do first. I'm saying be responsible, but be aware. The next thing is not going to happen in Bethesda. That's a wasted time. So Jesus says, get up and leave yours. And it all starts with a simple step. And some of you are going to want to take that step. And you're going to feel the pull. You're going to feel the pull of others. You're going to feel the pull of change. It's going to be awkward. And that system that has meant to cement your stuckness will try to pull you back. It's amazing when you disconnect with certain people, their influence on you. They start to see you move and grow. They get a little insecure because they don't like what's happening, because they fear that they're going to lose their influence and their place in your life. So, stepping out of Bethesda, being stuck in the mud, and stepping out of stuck requires stepping out of your boots. Leave your boots. And the thought of stepping out and putting your bare foot or bare socks in mud or in an insecure foundation like water, hello, it's scary. It's foreign. And I will tell you this. We know the system's sticking to us. But that's what you need to do to reinvent yourself, recapture yourself, be in a fluid path of renewal. And it's not always just binding the devil. It's not always binding the devil. Some of us can be really good. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he flees from you. He will flee. Not assist the devil. There are times in my life where that was a pretty good devil's assistant. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should have went to a prayer service, you know, where they were casting me out of the devil. I mean, we give this guy way too much credit. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. Well, the devil's on your back. Do you think the devil even knows your name? I don't know. I'm just saying. We got this big God and this kind of big devil, and he's not even. You know, when I played football, one of the most intimidating things you could do to the opposing team is just pretend they're not even there. Because in football and sports, it's, they don't respect you. That's an insult. Stepping out, and I'm as I continue to close, here it is, all right? Is it okay that I just took time to leave this with you? All right. This week, I want you to decide to be rude. I want you to be rude in here. I want you to be rude. I want you to be bulgy. I want you to be aggressive in your heart of hearts to say, this system is not serving me. It's keeping me stuck. This mindset is no longer serving me. It is sabotaging me. It's keeping me stuck. This custom, this, and I want you to get indignant. And I want you to take a step out of your boot. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? All right? Because I will tell you this. God is saying to us all, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? He said, pick up your mat. Sometimes you've got to leave your mat. I always wondered, why did Jesus say pick up your mat? Souvenirs, baby. It's a trophy. That's a trophy. I can go on about it. And here's the rest of the story, because here's what's going to happen. This man is finally free from 4 decades, and he leaves Bethesda walking in his miracle, and immediately he's met with another organizational stuckness. What? You're carrying your mat on the Sabbath? Who did this? Immediately, be prepared for the moment you step out of your prison and into your freedom. Bam, another system. Boom, another culture. Bam, another thing that is going to keep you and pull you back to your stuckness. And Jesus is so cool, because Jesus gets this guy to receive his miracle, and Jesus doesn't even tell him his name. The religious leaders are like, who healed you? I don't know. Wait. I mean, Jesus didn't even give him his name or his card and say, hey, I'm Jesus, here's my card. Come to my church next week. We'll put you on camera. We'll get a better offering. Who knows? So then later he runs into Jesus, right? And Jesus, I love this. Jesus, classic line. Jesus says, I see you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. This guy was on the ground for almost 4 decades. What was he doing that was so sinful? Did he operate a drug cartel from Bethesda? Did he have a prostitution ring? What was he doing that caused Jesus to say, stop it, or something worse will happen to you? Perhaps the greatest sin in that man, and possibly the greatest sin in all of us, is surrendering our lives to a system that steals our future and our freedom. So Jesus says, stop it. Let's not do that anymore, folks. Bow your heads with me, and we're done. That's all I wanted to say. Your miracle is never coming when you stay in Bethesda. Your miracle is in leaving Bethesda. Stop and sin no more. Stop surrendering your life to systems, customs, cultures, relationships that are stealing your future and your freedom. Bow your heads. Missy, can you just play? Just give me 30 more seconds. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. I mean, is this worth staying an extra 10 minutes? This is where we have to own up to the power of God in our life and labor with Christ. Because this is stuff you can't get in a prayer line. You can't be anointed with oil and stay in your Bethesda. So right now, Father, we come to you. And I'm just going to give a moment, because I believe the Holy Spirit right now is just giving you a picture of your Bethesdas. Your Bethesdas. What Bethesdas do you need to leave this week? It might not be a complete departure. Just one step. Just take one step tomorrow. One step the next day. One step. Pretty soon you're almost across the floor, and eventually you are out the door experiencing freedom and the hope and glory of your future as God originally saw it and planned it in your life. Pray with me. Father, I pray in this moment of decision, I pray that it would be activated in decisive action, that even a series of small successive steps that would never stop putting one foot in front of the other to find ourselves in different places where new graces are created, and they are created unlimited possibilities and unspeakable joy to overflowing. In Jesus' name, I declare the prison doors, they have always been broken wide open. I speak, get up, get out, and go forth and enjoy your life, and allow the love of God to be spread in your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I love you. Thank you so much. Leave your boots. Leave them. and go out and buy a bigger pan.
Amen. Church, let's stand to our feet. And wow, what a powerful time. And I just was kind of wandering through the back. I saw some faces we haven't seen in a while here. Thank you so much for being with us. Hope you were blessed this morning. I was. Wow. And I don't say that lightly. Sometimes church stinks and I don't like it. Amen. Today was not a stinky one. Can I get amen? Right. So, Father, we just love you. We're so grateful, God. I pray that even though David moved quickly, Lord, we know that you did so much work already in the Spirit of God. So much spontaneous work, God. So much. I love the scriptures that says that when they gathered, everybody brought a word. Everybody had something to share. Everybody. It's the body coming alive, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you are stirring this local body, God, that it is coming alive, oh God. Lord, even if somebody's thinking, they're saying, but geez, I don't have anything to say. Maybe not today. Maybe not today. But Lord, we thank you for the word, even though brief as it was, that David shared with us, God, about getting out of systems, Lord, and getting out of environments, God, that will feed our brokenness, feed our stuckness. And Lord, we ask that as we go back this week, and I would encourage you, church, I want to listen to it again. I would encourage you to listen to it again, because there was so much that he brought in just 25 minutes. Again, I shared earlier today, Lord, church, if you were not here yesterday, all that is on our YouTube page, it's on our Facebook page. Yesterday was a really powerful time of teaching, all about this same concept about living life as Jesus intended us to. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for every miracle that has already taken place here today, every miracle that will take place this week as we respond to the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have an awesome day.